just decided to stay up all night. The outstanding cooperation of the studios at Feature Story News. And I'm joined now by Simon Marks, president of Feature Story News. Just to give a flavour, first of all, to Irish people listening, Feature Story News would have 30 offices around the globe.
Offices. 20. We're heading to 30. 20 offices around the world. We are an independent broadcast news agency, and we provide mostly content, ready-to-air news content, to a whole variety of different international news channels. But we're also delighted to have you here in Washington this week, because we provide facilities too. So I've been up all day and all night, and now all day again, doing live reporting for just a whole variety of different international TV news channels.
What you could do, you know, to cure this, Graham and yourself could get on EI 104 with Aer Lingus tonight and, and drink your way for 7 hours back Dublin. However, that's not possible. I'm going to do that. Yes. And I'm going to do that. Now, come on. Tell me this story.
Well, I've been here for 24 years. This is my sixth presidential election covering it for international audiences. Clearly, none of us has ever seen anything like this before. And I would suggest that this election has actually been in two parts as far as Donald Trump is concerned. The part where he got into the race and, if you like, the genius of Donald Trump at that point was the realization that this country was ready for its electoral politics to become a reality TV show. This is someone, and this was something that nobody here in Washington, D.C., and, you know, what Donald Trump has done over the last 18 months is absolutely rip up the political rule book and all the pundits that you hear on the air, myself included. No one in this city saw any of this coming. So the first part of this is he gets into the race and he understands, as a reality TV guy, that the country's ready for that. Les Moonves, the chairman of CBS, who at one point during the primary process said, well, Donald Trump may be terrible for America, but he's great for CBS. So the media was complicit, absolutely complicit in Donald Trump's rise, giving him that earned media that allowed him to eclipse all the other Republican candidates out there and secure the nomination. And then having secured the nomination, I think there was, if Michael agrees or not, but I think there was then the sudden realization that, oh, I might actually be in with a chance here, because there's only one person that can stop me from reaching the White House, and that's Hillary Clinton. He then brings in people like Stephen Bannon from Breitbart News, who don't just bring in some of the darker fringes, I would argue, of American politics and put them in the mainstream, but he understands the visceral anger that exists out there in places like Ohio, in places like Pennsylvania, to 8 years of what Donald Trump starts characterizing as the exporting of American jobs and opportunity. I was talking to one Democrat yesterday who at the time thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. And he said to me, you know, she mustn't confuse this with a mandate. She mustn't continue to deny the complaints of all those people in the Rust Belt about what's going on. Well, actually, the complaints of those people in the Rust Belt, the chord that Donald Trump struck with them in terms of promising to restore their lives to some semblance of normalcy, even if parenthetically he has no idea how he's actually going to do that, that struck a chord. Okay. You know, it's Michael Moore, left-wing filmmaker, who said, he didn't quite put it in these terms because I can't say what he said on the radio, but he said, this is going to be the working stiff in this country giving the biggest middle finger to the political establishment imaginable.
May I ask a question? How much do you agree with me that part that this goes to Hillary Clinton's weaknesses as a candidate? She was just not a good candidate.
She's never been a good candidate.
But also there's something else. Is it even if she were a good candidate, she was the wrong candidate for this year?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're watching the global rejection of the elites, and by the way, the elites have a lot to answer for. They have not handled things well. If you're a typical person, you don't have to be an uneducated rube to say that Brussels or D.C. is getting it wrong. And who do they send? I mean, if you were going to do a movie and cast the evil villain as a inside DC corporate hack, it would be Hillary.
All right, but hold on, though. My guests, remember, are here. Michael Graham, who is attempting to take the show over.
You see what I work with?
Yeah. I'm new around here.
Oh, okay. And Simon Marks, who's president and chief correspondent for Feature Story News, because we're using their facilities here in Washington, D.C. But Simon and Michael, First of all, I looked at the result from D.C., right? The result from D.C. is Democrats 96%, Republicans 4%. So when you say nobody, Simon, in this city saw it coming, that's because everybody in this city is, you know, cozy liberal, and Donald Trump is nonsense like Graham speaks of. Whereas, and then, that's why Hillary didn't go to Wisconsin or whatever, because she thought, this is, Hillary is just removed from, when you talk about the Rust Belt, you're talking about people who are walking with their hands and, you know, are struggling to pay a mortgage. Absolutely. And all that kind of stuff. She is no more, has a relationship with those kind of people than the man in the moon.
No, and I think Michael's absolutely right. And this is not Monday morning quarterbacking on the part of this particular source, but I talked to someone who is connected to the Clintons and has been for years and has been deeply critical of her decision to seek the presidential nomination from day one and has maintained from day one that there was a chance denied by the people immediately in her orbit that she would lose. And he sent me a series of text messages last night. I'll just read you a few of them. It is our party's fault. Yep. We let her and the likes of Neera Tanden and the other people around her bully us into clearing the field for her. A deeply flawed candidate, totally out of touch with the electorate. I am furious, he wrote, not at Trump, but at my party for allowing this to happen. He was absolutely stunned that she didn't appear at the Javits Center.
Would you talk about that?
That is stunning. And by the way, I just want to recap how this happened for the folks in Ireland who weren't there, because I was in the newsroom recovering everything. We see John Podoritz, her... John Podesta.
That would be something
as a conservative writer for the New York Post. John Podesta shows up, and there's this crowd of people, and they love him. They're the 9,000.
They've been working there.
Working and waiting.
Backs
and he stands
off for
up,
her.
And he tells them, go home, get some sleep. We're going to pick it up again tomorrow. Hillary's not coming. She hasn't even come over to the Senate. She doesn't even say hi. So you think to yourself, oh, my gosh, they're going to fight. This is going to be 2000. They must have some math that shows that, you know, Pennsylvania is going to be contested, whatever. 20 minutes later, the news reports come that she called Trump and conceded. What an awful, awful way to treat normal
Simon,
people.
I expect this kind of vitriol from Graham. That's why we pay him the big bucks, all right? But somebody like you, it is incomprehensible to me. Like, I go back to Eisenhower against Adlai Stevenson as a child, right? I've never seen something like a losing candidate perform in that way.
Well, I'll tell you who did perform in that way to some degree. Michael mentioned 2000. Al Gore. Al Gore never, ever, once the whole hanging Chad issue was put behind him.
But he was robbed.
But he never, robbed or not robbed, he never thanked his campaign staff.
Really?
And it left a terrible taste in the mouths of those people who had given up their lives for the best part of a year and a half to try and get him over the finishing line into the White House. And I thought last night that failure of her to go to the Javits Center, which they'd selected, of course, because of that actual glass ceiling that she thought she was going to shatter. There was no chance of going back to the Javits Center today. They've already cleared the stage out. There's another, you know, there's a wedding or a car convention or something booked at the Javits Center today. So I presume we're going to hear something from her during the course of the day.
That when you saw them do that announcement, didn't you assume that they must be planning on...
I assumed we were
legal
challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sending people to New Hampshire. We're going to count these ballots.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
To do that, to send them home with hope and then to smack them down.
Absolutely.
They're driving home in the crappy New York traffic and the radio goes, Hillary conceded.
I thought it was a stunning miscalculation.
Hillary has proven, in this campaign, she has proven that she is everything that people like me have been saying about her for 20 years.
Simon Marks, you've been six presidential elections.
My sixth, yes.
Right.
Still looking very youthful.
Yes, but what about the civilizing influence of the White House? We have seen before in all politics around the globe where Nixon put it really well. He said, at the before the convention, you work as far left or right or whatever it is as possible, and then you spend the rest of the campaign working back to the centre. So when Trump walks through the door, right, that George Washington walked through, the Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, Uncle Tom Copley and all, isn't he going to say, you know, I'm the President of the United States?
But you see, what Nixon was basically saying there was the civilizing process of the election.
I get
and
that.
And we didn't see that in this election. We are only 36 hours after the final Donald Trump rally in New Hampshire, in which a member of the crowd could be heard shouting, assassinate Hillary Clinton. I mean, these are the forces that have been unleashed, and not just unleashed by Donald Trump, by the way. We should also, you know, Bernie Sanders had forces to the left even right. of Bernie Sanders that were unleashed during the course of this campaign.
There's a lot of assassinate Trump stuff on the social media today.
Sure.
But that's, you know, the one thing, too, is that social media has unleashed the stupidity that used to be yelled at the end of the bar by the drunk guy at 2 a.m., he now tweets out, and then you see it, and you think that this is going mainstream. I don't think it has gone mainstream. I really don't. I think that those people were always those freeze people. You just never ran into them unless you were in the bar at 2 a.m. trying to find George Hook.
But no, but Simon, everybody this morning, interesting, because you would have been watching, because the three of us stayed up all night, like, the peso went through the floor.
Absolutely.
Well, of course the peso went through the floor, because Trump has already said he's going to kick the butt of every Mexican in America over the border. And my daughter, who's a banker in London, was in work at 2 a.m. And I called her, you know, because she's going to work on, and she's looking at screens and saying, this isn't great, Dad, you know.
Right, right.
But I think already the markets are narrowing. So the big losses are suddenly narrowing, because they're coming to terms with it. Shucks.
Well, you have to come to terms with it, because it is reality. You wake up, and over at the White House seeing the sun come up. You know, this is not a dream. We are not in Kansas anymore. This is the new reality. I will tell you that I've spent a good deal of time, by chance, in Mexico over the last 3 or 4 months. I've been going down there on a fairly regular basis. When Donald Trump went to Mexico at the invitation of the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, it was a disaster for the Mexican president. It caused him no end of grief, because the whole visit was so atrociously handled by both folks. What's he going to do now? How's he going to come to terms with this? He's going into an election battle in 2 years' time. The seismic patterns of all of this are going to reverberate for a long while in all sorts of places.
And by the way, as we reported at the Weekly Standard, the former foreign minister of Mexico gave a speech not long ago at one of the conservative places here in D.C., and he laid out 5 ways that Trump can, in fact, make Mexico pay for the wall. He kept looking at these people saying 2 things. Number one, this guy is a lot stronger candidate than you think. But, and number two, the president of the United States has a lot more tools than you guys admit. He didn't support it. He doesn't want
to be a wall.
Yes, there is.
You think there's going to be a physical wall?
In all seriousness, I mean, I don't, you know, the debate
war?
Is...
Wall.
The wall.
I thought there might be a war. 1830. Yeah. I mean, look, some of it's probably going to be electronic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But this is the centerpiece of his thing.
It's going to be a beautiful
and
wall.
Listen, let me tell you, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this. Walls are relatively cheap. They're relatively easy. Mm-hmm. This notion that we can't build a wall. Israel had very good success with ending the Intifada by using strategic walls. I've been there, walked them, whatever. He's going to do something like a wall because he has to. You know what I'm saying? That's like a touchstone.
Hold on a minute.
It'll be something. There may only be a stretch long enough for like a Vegas casino. You know what I mean? It may be like
a seven repeat back.
Exactly. Yeah.
This isn't going to make me very popular, because the person I'm going to talk about is the only uncanonized saint from America, John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. But if history treats Kennedy immeasurably better because he was killed, the thing is, all those civil rights things were put through by Johnson.
Right.
Kennedy might have been seen as a very bad president. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we do have to wait for history here. Obama's been terrible president. And Obama will be with the other university loony, Woodrow Wilson. He'll be listed amongst the very... Simon Marks, I think Obama bears some responsibility for the Democratic loss.
If
this is a disaster for Hillary Clinton, it is a catastrophe for Barack Obama. First of all, a man who, together with his wife Michelle Obama, engaged in more campaigning than you usually see on the part of a sitting president in what became a somewhat desperate attempt to pull Hillary Clinton across the finishing line. A man who told audiences that if she lost because they didn't turn out and vote for her, he would take it as a personal insult. Much more seriously now for Barack Obama today than the issue of being insulted is the fact that President-elect Donald Trump walks through the doors of that White House in January with majorities in both houses of Congress, tortured relationships with those Republicans, but with majorities in the Senate and the House of Representatives, pledged to overturn the relatively few achievements that Barack Obama has enjoyed in office. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, the thaw in relations with Cuba. I mean, this is a seismic blow to his hopes of having any kind of lasting
political
legacy.
And, George, the reason why I'm not in a bad mood is I have the glory of watching the Obama presidency destroyed. His legacy is done. He will go down as a failed president because, in addition to his policy problems, he has to hand the White House over to a Donald Trump. There's no way that you can disconnect Barack Obama now from Donald Trump.
President. Owen and Kerry says, get a grip or stay where you are in the USA. Nobody likes the I told you so guy. something worse next time. America has gone Dodge City, says John in Limerick. They shafted Bernie and he would have won. And I think he would have.
Joe Biden would have won.
Joe Biden would have crushed and any normal Republican would have crushed.
Well, we know that. Joe Biden's an Irish
Catholic.
By the way,
we may owe Hillary Clinton an apology.
Hold on a minute. Do you realize that America isn't the only place that has ads on its pay for its radio show?
People are getting paid for this? Wait a second. Hey!
Michael Graham is with me. And, of course, my thanks to Simon Marks, the president of Feature Story News, without whom we simply could not of broadcast. Trump's pal is going to talk to me, Jeff Lord. He's next.
High Noon with George Hook.
News Talk 106 to 108.